3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And it is time once again for Exfabula Radio, part of Lake Effect Weekend on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bruce Winter. Leah Delaney is the Milwaukee Exfabula co-founder and helps put this show together every week, and every week we have stories on a theme, and this week,
because
Milwaukee Film Festival is underway.
Oh, yes, it is. It's based on the Milwaukee Film Fest. It is the most wonderful time of the year. This next 2 weeks is just going to be, Milwaukee's on fire with like all sorts of like good movies. So hooray, I'm glad they're still around, and I'm glad they are as popular as they are. And we, Exfabula, are very excited to return as a 2017 Milwaukee Film Fest community partner for the feature called Shorts, Stories We Tell. Because, you know, it just makes sense.
That's
we at Exfabula, we like that short narrative, you know, under 5 minutes.
I always thought of Exfabula Stories as part of a big movie called, you know, Scenes from a Life.
Sure. Milwaukee Life.
Milwaukee
Scenes
Life,
from
yes.
a Milwaukeean.
Yes.
So let's just jump right in and get a couple of those Milwaukee stories started for you. We're going to start today's program with a story from Lynn Selek. So let's listen to Lynn's story.
All right, so I graduated from college back in 2004, and instead of getting a real job or going to grad school, I decided that I wanted to have an adventure. I decided that I was going to move to a foreign country. And so I was online one day, and I found a cheap one-way ticket to Lisbon, Portugal, and I bought it right away. And then I proceeded to tell my friends and family that I was moving overseas. So I knew that my father was not going to be real big on this idea. My dad is a real traditional kind of guy. And so sure enough, when I told him, he was not happy. And I knew this because he was completely silent when I told him. He didn't say anything. In fact, I think he even walked out of the room. So I gave him a couple weeks to just, you know, be by himself. And I saw him a couple weeks later, and I confronted him. And I said, you know, Dad, you know, what do you think about this? Like, I'm moving to Portugal. This is going to happen. You know, what are your thoughts on this? And he was really quiet again. And then he looked me in the eyes and he said, well, Lynn, you know, I'm really worried for you. South America is a very dangerous place. So, yeah. And this was great because this is a man who loves to prove how he's so much smarter than you all the time. And so the fact that he came out with this gem, this was like a gift to me. It was a total gift. But my dad, he really is a smart man. He is very intelligent. He's just more kind of math and science smart versus, you know, geography smart. So anyways, February came. I had booked my ticket for a couple days before Valentine's Day, and I thought I was being very clever. I never really liked Valentine's Day. I'm usually single on Valentine's Day. And I thought that Valentine's Day was an American Hallmark holiday. And I'm not really sure why this is, because it is called Saint Valentine's Day. And so the whole saint part probably should have tipped me off that it had its roots in Christianity. And, you know, Europe has, like, dibs on Jesus. So, I don't know. I'm like my father. I'm smart in some ways, not so smart in others. So, anyways, I went to Lisbon, and you know, in my defense, and I feel like I need to say this because you probably kind of see where the story is going. In my defense, when I got to Lisbon, there was no, like, huge Valentine's Day displays in the shop windows. Not like it is here in America. There was really, I don't remember seeing any of that. So pretty much when I got there, I completely forgot about the holiday. I had other things to think about. And when I got there, I had booked a hostel for the first 5 days. And I figured after that, I'll just figure out what to do after that. And the first couple of nights I went out with friends that I'd met in the hostel. These were just girls that were, you know, traveling through Lisbon. And we had gone out, and it was fun. And finally it dawned on me, like, I'm going to be homeless in a few days. Like, I need to find a job. I need a place to live. Like, I need to meet Portuguese people. And so I decided that the next night I was going to go out on my own, by myself, and start to meet Portuguese people and make connections. And this was terrifying to me because although I had, you know, I had the so-called balls to, like, move overseas. Like, it really wasn't that. It was just me being impulsive, and I was really good at being impulsive in my early 20s. But the fact of the matter is that the idea of, like, actually going out and having to connect with people, having to put myself out there was absolutely terrifying. But I decided, you know, Lynn, if this is what you want to do, if this is where you want to be, like, you have to do this. You have to go out. So the next night I went out by myself, and I passed this bar, and there was this, like, thumping house music coming from a bar door. And I was into house music back then, so I opened the door. And I could see that the bar was crowded, but the first thing that I noticed, the thing that I really honed in on, was that there was one open table at the very back of the bar. And so I just knew, like, I have to get this table, because the last thing I wanted was to be standing by myself, you know, in the middle of this bar, in this crowded bar. So I made a beeline for this table, and I got the table, and I sat down, and a bartender came over right away and was like, blah, 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 something in Portuguese. I said, desculpa, falo inglês, and yes, he spoke English, and he brought me my drink, and I had my drink. And, you know, the amazing thing about alcohol is that it calms you down, it calms the nerves, it slows down the thoughts. And so I started feeling more calm, and I'm looking around the bar, and the first thing I notice are these giant red heart balloons, and they're everywhere. And I'm thinking, how did I not notice this when I first came in the bar? Like, they are everywhere. And mystery solved. Europe does celebrate Valentine's Day. And as I'm sitting there, I'm realizing, like, not only am I single on Valentine's Day, which is, you know, whatever, but I'm single and in a bar sitting alone on Valentine's Day, which is, you know, kind of sad. But not, it gets better. So not only that, I'm single and sitting alone in a male gay bar on Valentine's Day. It is like a sea of dudes. I am one of only three women in the entire bar, and they're at least all with, you know, their male gay friends. So that was my first Valentine's Day in Portugal. On the bright side, after that, Valentine's Day hasn't really seemed so bad. So thank you.
And that was Lynn Selick talking her story out.
Yes. And we're stories this week on the theme of, you know, Milwaukee Film Festival, which started on Thursday. And being the big film freak you are, you're going to be at a lot of those, I'm sure.
Yep. But don't tell my boss.
I thought you were the boss.
Yeah, all bosses report to a boss, right?
Besides X-Fabulous involvement in Milwaukee Film Fest, what do you guys have coming up in October?
Oh, yes, we got a whole bunch of stuff. Season 9 is, like, right here. We are on the tails of season 9 with X-Fabula. We have our first Story Slam coming up, and it's going to be on October 17th. And the theme is, what could go wrong? What could go wrong? Yeah, so Milwaukee is going to show up and put their names in the hat and get chosen randomly, get up on stage to tell their 5-minute real personal true stories based on that theme, what could go wrong? And we also are going to be back with our Equal Access Storytelling Workshops, along with a whole bunch of other special storytelling and workshop events. And, you know, get all that information at xfabula.org.
Exactly. Second story for today.
Ding, ding. We are going to have our final story of the day from a theme, Change of Heart Story Slam, which happened in January of 2017. So here is Sue Blostein's story.
My grandfather was a really complicated man. We lost him when I was 4, so most of what I know about him is from what I was told and from the effect that his character and his decisions had on my mother and her family. He wasn't a good family man. He neglected my grandmother. He had a cold relationship with his son and an indifferent relationship with his youngest daughter, and openly favored his middle daughter, which was my mother. Now, he was an obstetrician, and he had a huge successful practice. He operated his own maternity hospitals, first in Harlem and then in the Bronx. And he was an innovator. He developed and patented a scope for monitoring fetal heartbeat. He published papers on obstetrical technique. And my mother followed in his footsteps and went to medical school. and that gave him a lot of joy, and he followed her education with a lot of enthusiasm. He was also a supremely opinionated man. His word was law, and he answered to no other authority. And for one example of this, his idea of who a fit man for my mother to marry was so strong that when she met my father, she married him in secret. But my mother wasn't one to be pushed around either. So in 1948, when she graduated from medical school, she publicly married my father, and my grandfather had to take it as a done deal. And a couple of months after that wedding, though, his life really took a turn for the worse. On August 11th, 1948, he was arrested and charged with falsifying birth records. See, besides delivering thousands of babies at his hospital, he also brokered adoptions informally. And in January 1947, he delivered a baby for a woman who had gotten pregnant by a married man at her job. And she had been given money for an abortion by the baby's father, but when she went to do that, she had a change of heart, possibly, or the doctor that was going to do the procedure was arrested. But in any case, the go-between, the woman who set up the abortion, brought her to my grandfather's hospital when it was time for her to give birth. And she was really in a predicament. She'd concealed her pregnancy. She hadn't told the father that she didn't go through with the abortion. So she asked that the baby be put out for adoption. And to facilitate that, he put a false name on the birth certificate for her and for the baby's father. It was nothing new. He'd done it before. And the child was adopted out to a couple in Connecticut. But a year later, she had another change of heart. Or she was pressured because the baby's father found out that she hadn't gone through with the abortion. And she went to my grandfather. She wanted the baby back. He said, it's a done deal. It's over. And she went to the Bronx District Attorney. And his undoing began with that arrest. And it took 10 years to unfold his personal, his financial, his professional ruin. And during that time, me and my sisters were born at his hospital. But by the late 50s, he was going under, and he kept asking his children to lend him money. And eventually, my mother wrote him a letter saying, this is my final loan. So now the transcript of his trial is on Google Docs. That's how I learned so much. And it really gives you a window into a time when unmarried women had very, very few options. And it gives me insight into this man who was either a humanitarian or a lifesaver or an arrogant liar. How you saw him depended on what role he played in your life. But it also makes you wonder that if the services he provided were services that people needed. And I think possibly his arrogance gave him the will to break the law in order to provide them. And I have to wonder that if those services were freely available to women, if a woman's change of heart wouldn't have triggered a doctor's downfall.
And that was Sue Blostein's story from the theme Change of Heart, which is under Stories We Tell. We are community partners this year again for Shorts, Stories We Tell, with the Milwaukee Film Festival. So we're really excited. I'm going to be there. Are you going to be around?
I will be around because Milwaukee Film Fest is happening a couple of weeks in this city. And for those who love the movies, and my love of movies goes back to the 1930s and everything after that. So, yeah.
All forms of narratives are fantastic.
Absolutely.
So, again, to recap, we have our first Story Slam coming up of Season 9 on October 17th. What could go wrong is the theme. And then equal access storytelling workshops, along with other things. Go to exfabula.org. Milwaukee, we are really ramped up for this season, and we hope to see your faces in the places.
Absolutely. And if you want to hear these stories again or share them, you will find them at wuwm.com. Leah, thank you.
No, thank you.